each weekday, a member of the community is invited to Coffee at KYUK to discuss news and information relevant to Bethel and the Kuskokwim Delta. Sometimes light, sometimes serious, Coffee at KYUK is where our community connects.
Hello, 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 up and down the Cusco. I'm also shouting out to the Yukon and the coast. Grady Deaton here, Coffee at KYUK, as usual. Excited, as usual, sharing my excitement with you. As I promised yesterday, a nice conversation with our own Senator Lyman Hoffman and our own KYUK's Joanna Urich. As legislators went back to work in Juneau this week, Senator Hoffman was right in the middle of it. His schedule went into overdrive because he was named majority leader in the Senate as well as held onto his seat in the Senate Finance Committee. As I mentioned, Joanna Urich got a hold of the senator for a quick conversation, and we're going to share it here on Coffee at KYUK. Good morning.
As the legislature enters its second year, I wanted to talk about the priorities you have for the time ahead. But before we go there, I'd love to ask you, what were the most important legislative accomplishments of the past session from your point of view?
Well, I think that we were able to get the governor to agree to the education budget that we had passed. I think the governor was made par cost equalization sweepable, so we had to work on several fronts to get the three-quarters vote to assure that that billion-dollar fund for power cost equalization wasn't swept. Those two items, I think, probably education and power cost equalization were the biggest items.
Power cost equalization, what do you think is going to be the challenge this year on that front?
I think it's the same. You know, I met with the governor's office and the governor himself several times last year and several times during the interim to try to convince him that power cost equalization should not be a sweepable item. At AFN, he made a public statement in front of all of the AFN delegation that he wants to work with me to get language to assure that no other governor can make that a sweepable item. He says that he is supportive of the program, 110% behind it, but wants to work with me to get language to make sure that it is not sweepable.
I can see you're ready to roll up your sleeves on that one.
Yes, yes, we are. I think that there will be support. Any legislation that we get would require 11 and 21, and I think we will be able to assure that.
So where are we in terms of the politics? I noticed last week that the Senate Majority Organization seemed to change who was on the Finance Committee. There were three that were removed. From talking to some other people down in Juneau, they said apparently it had something to do with their support for the old formula for the permanent fund dividend. I know you've been a big supporter also of the full PFD, but once again, Lyman, you're still there. What's happened?
Well, I think that the people that have been full supporters, there is no one in the leadership besides me that is still a full supporter of the dividend. I told my leadership team that I'm there. I think that I'm supportive of changing the formula because everyone is well aware that we can't afford it. I think that a 50-50 split should be considered from the earnings from the formula that we passed 2 years ago. So I'm hopeful that we can address a rewrite of the formula. There seems to be nothing coming forward from the third floor on an idea, but he said that he wants to work with people. Everybody wants to work on the issue, so we will see what happens this next session. It just needs to be resolved. Otherwise, it's going to be a political football every single year until it's resolved.
I know that the governor has a budget proposal in which he's talking about getting the money from the budget reserve fund. At the same time, I understand that the legislature has been advised that reducing the reserve fund to less than $200 million would put the state at risk. How do you respond to this? Is this a realistic plan?
Well, it isn't a realistic plan. Even at a 50-50, I don't think a dividend which would reduce it to a little bit north of $2,000 isn't a fiscal plan, because we need probably another $400 to $500 million to just break even. And that doesn't even count the possibly supplementals that will be right around the additional $200 million. So I think that additional revenue sources, substantial revenue sources, need to be looked at. We have Alaska's fair share before. I think it's going to come before the voters. The signatures have been turned in, and that will raise $1.2 billion. I think that number is a little bit high. I wish that the governor would back off of his position that he will not entertain any changes to our oil and gas tax formula, because by doing that, I think the people of Alaska are tired of the reductions that they've seen to that the governor had proposed to education, the big cuts to the marine highway system, the massive cuts to the University of Alaska's budget, all up and down the line. The reductions are just too much. This year, the governor has come forward with a status quo budget from last year, but that status quo budget includes millions of reductions from the previous year to education in the marine highway system. So those people are still dissatisfied, and we still don't have a balanced budget with his status quo, the submittal of his operating budget for 2021. So my take of all of this is that substantial revenues need to happen, not maybe not the $1.2 billion, but something north of right around $600 to $800 million from the oil industry. If we go back and take the people go back and take a reduction of from their $3 million dividend down to $2 million, then the people of Alaska are pushing across the table, $600-700 million, and they shouldn't be the only ones that are contributing to resolve the deficit. I think the second level is the industry. Like the referendum says, Alaska's fair share. The question that I have is, what is Alaska's fair share? And I would say that whatever the people of Alaska give up in dividends, that should be of the fair share that industry should come up with. So the people of Alaska are coming up with an amount, and the industry should come up with a like amount. And I think that should be the amount that we have for Alaska's fair share. But at this point, if the referendum goes through and gets adopted, the legislature is going to have no say in what that amount is. It's going to be $1.2 billion.
Uh-huh. Well, the Dunleavy administration wants all Alaskans to vote on any new taxes. What do you think of that?
Well, I think that the people of Alaska voted us in, and we should represent our people and make those decisions. That's why the people of Alaska intended. I know he has legislation to do that, and I don't think that that legislation will get much traction.
Speaking of legislation, what are your priorities for the time ahead?
Well, again, my priority is going to look at legislation to protect the power cost equalization program so it's not a sweepable item. That would be high on my list at this time.
What bills hanging over from last year might be resolved this year?
I have a bill to on broadband that would capture $1 out of $9, and I forget the amount that would be available to school districts throughout the state of Alaska to bring them up, bring their speeds up. I think it's to 100 kilobytes. So that is in its it passed the Senate. It passed the first committee of referral in the House, and it's in the last committee of referral in the House, in the Senate, in the House Finance Committee. Hopefully we can see action on that piece of legislation the first 30 days.
Wow, it looks like it's almost there.
Yes, it's almost there. That bill number is Senate Bill 74.
Great. We'll keep an eye on that. What about education?
Well, the governor has come forward and submitted a status quo from last year on education. So I think that budget is not in jeopardy. I know the education community was concerned about that, and now I think that at least the status quo is there. I think that's what's going to get funded.
What about this idea of a bill to allow education compacts with tribes?
Yes, I attended those meetings with Senator Edgeman, I mean Representative Edgeman, Senator Stevens, and many others, and they are asking for that power. Senator Stevens introduced legislation along those lines for tribal compacting. I think that there is support for it, but there's a lot of questions that remain. So I would say that possibly passing the legislation with the pilot program where one or two school districts can apply and see how it works and get all the kinks out of it before we give it further consideration. But I know that we had reports from Native groups throughout the state that are really in support of it because the state's educational system, the school districts are, many of them are at the low end of the achievement rate. So something needs to be done.
One of the things that has come up, though, and I'd really like to know what you think of it, you've no doubt been watching some of the things that's going on about the Real ID and how rural communities and village corporations are being asked to donate to the state to facilitate this.
Yes, and I think that's totally inappropriate. I think that I plan on discussing that with Senator Stedman and in an early supplemental. I think I might ask him to see if he can include some funds to do that. Just because we are far-flung, we have to come up with funds, but Anchorage, Fairbanks, and Juneau don't have to come up with any because they are in larger locations. That isn't fair. If they're going to get a free ride, everybody in Alaska should get a free ride. We should not be penalized because we live in rural Alaska.
Are you going to run for re-election?
I'm not. There's a cycle coming up in November, and I have two more years on my seat.
I just thought if you were going to not, we'd love to know because we'd be desperate for somebody like you.
Yeah, well, I have a commitment of 2 more years, and which means in November we're going to be reorganizing the Senate and see where we stand and see what gets accomplished, and we'll see where we go from there.
So, do you have some final thoughts and things we didn't touch on? I tried to kind of write a list, but I'm always open for your ideas.
Well, the new thing this year with this new organization, I have been tapped to become the majority leader in the Senate. That's a leadership position that I didn't have last year, and I think that will be something that will help me focus on and bring forward rural issues to the leadership team. I'm glad of that. There, as you said, there were three people that were, according to the rules of organization, they were deemed not voting for the capital budget, so they had to lose their chairmanships, and that's why we had this reorganization. So, you know, that has been taken care of the last few days, and hopefully things go smoothly from here, but there's always bumps in the road, so we will address them when we get there.
Well, I'm hoping that we'll hear from you through some more during the session, though I understand that your calendar is going to be even heavier than normal, being the majority leader and working on the Finance Committee. You're going to be in the middle of things.
Yes, and that's exactly what I like.
Okay, we like that too. Thanks very much for taking the time in your schedule to talk to us.
Thanks, Joanna, and everybody in the YK Delta. Keep warm.
Well, we'll do our best. That was KYUK's Joanna Urich speaking with Senator Lyman Hoffman here on Coffee. Senator Hoffman, who is now the Senate Majority Leader and at the same time has kept his seat on the Senate Finance Committee, has become possibly the most powerful senator in the legislature. Sorry there's not time to review the drums this morning, but do stay warm. Winter wind chill advisory in effect at least till noon today. And only one thing left to say, and that's don't forget to be awesome to each other. Each weekday, a member of the community is invited to Coffee at KYUK to discuss news and information relevant to Bethel and the Kuskokwim Delta.
Sometimes light, sometimes serious, Coffee at KYUK is where our community connects.
If you'd like to suggest a guest or arrange to be on with us yourself, contact us at coffee@kyuk.org or call 543-3131 today.